You know, these last few weeks, we have been considering the Easter invitation to go out into the world. Now, Easter wasn't the first time Jesus encouraged us to go out into the world. I mean, okay, the whole resurrection thing was certainly a very big first, but as far as the invitation to go into the world, Jesus had done all of that before. Jesus had told the disciples repeatedly, Jesus tells us, go into the world. And he tells us that because Jesus came that we might all have life and have it abundantly, and life is meant to be shared. That's why we go out into the world, to share the gift of life we receive. The good news of love and acceptance, justice and hope, these are meant to be shared. You see, ours is not meant to be a navel-gazing religion. Ours is not meant to be a self-serving spirituality. To know life is to share life. And if we aren't sharing it, we don't truly know it. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out into the world. And when Jesus sent his disciples, as Jesus sends us, he didn't send them with much, but he did give them some instructions. Instructions we hear in the 10th chapter of Luke.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to go to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Asked the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvested field. Go, I am sending you out like the lambs among the wolves. Do not take any purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace is to this house. If somebody who promotes peace is not there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating, drinking, whatever they give you. The worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and you are not welcomed, go to the streets and say, even the dust of your town we will wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Simon than for that town.
Okay, so there's a lot in this scripture, so let's walk through some specifics, shall we? First, I think it's absolutely critical to note that Jesus sent everybody out in pairs. No one ever got sent out on their own. You know, on Easter, I talked a little bit about how new life isn't always simple to receive. New life isn't always comfortable to celebrate. And new life isn't always easy to walk into. And here we see Jesus offering support for that. We are meant to step into new life and go into the world, and we're meant to do so in relationship and in community. Going it alone isn't helpful. Going it alone isn't effective. Going it alone isn't even biblical. We're meant to be community because we need each other. I think about the pairs that Jesus sent out and the many things they did for each other, right? When they got tired, they could encourage one another. When they got uncomfortable or scared, they could protect one another. When they got off topic or forgot the message, they could refocus each other. When the people they met needed to hear something in a different way, there was someone along to offer another voice. So too, we are called into community to encourage and support, to deepen the wisdom, and to offer accountability for one another as a community. As we go into the world, we are not doing so alone. You are surrounded by a community of people who are seeking to build a home where all belong beside you and with you. So Jesus sends folks out in relationship and community and sends them to go build relationships and new communities. Now, if you heard, they take nothing with them, right? No purse, no bag, no money, nothing. Just go. Because they are to rely on the people they meet. They are to be a part of the community around them, not to be above or separate. And Jesus offers some specific instructions about how they are to be a part of things as well. He tells them when they arrive somewhere, after they offer a blessing, peace be upon you, they are to eat and drink whatever is set before them. Now, for some of us, this sounds like how we were raised, right? I was a picky kid, and I always got that speech before we went somewhere. I don't care what they put on the table. You're going to have some. Right? If you're a guest, you say thank you, and you just eat or drink whatever's provided. But there's another layer here. Jesus wasn't just talking to a picky kid. Jesus and his disciples were kosher. Right? They were Hebrew people who followed these food purity laws. There was a lot of rules about what you could and couldn't do, and it was very specific. It had set their people apart for generations. And they were going out into communities that did not share the same dietary restrictions. So to tell the disciples that you are to eat or drink whatever is set before you is to tell them that they are to put relationship before the rules. Don't let the rules keep you from real relationship. This was incredibly countercultural. And on a personal level, it had to challenge the disciples, right? Like an entire lifetime of these are the rules and I have to follow them. They actually help keep us separate so we know who we are. And here Jesus is saying, listen, we're going to set those rules aside and you're going to go be with people. And though we do not follow purity laws and keep kosher, I wonder if Christ's invitation doesn't challenge us as well. As we make our way through the world, we encounter so many people who live life differently than we do. And it can be very tempting to only want to do things our way, right? In fact, there are plenty of folks who try to follow Jesus who only want to do things their way. And sometimes they say, because I follow Jesus, everyone else has to do things my way too. Pushing one's beliefs on other people is not Christian. That's what we see Jesus telling us here. Because that is not what Jesus asks. And if anyone doubts you on that and says, no, no, this is what the Bible says and everyone has to do that, tell them they should actually read the book. Because that's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't ask us to force our way of living and believing on other people. Jesus invites us to create space for relationship, to meet people where they are. It's about meeting people where they are and meeting their needs. That's what I see Jesus inviting us to do in our scripture today. And when they arrive in this openness of relationship, the first thing Jesus asks them to do is offer a blessing. The second thing they are to do is offer healing, to care for people. Now, working with Jesus, healing the sick probably was like this literal miraculous experience. But for those of us today who may not have magic hands, what does healing look like? I mean, I'm not out on the street laying hands upon people trying to make their ailments go away. Are you? But we are housing those who don't have homes. We are working to address systems of oppression that we both participate in and benefit from. We're out there feeding the hungry, visiting the lonely, tending to the needs of children in our community. That's healing, isn't it? It's the healing we're invited to do by being with people and meeting their needs. And what is it the disciples are invited to say as they offer healing? Jesus gives them specifics. Look at the people and say, God's kingdom has come near to you. We are to share with those in need, to share with those in pain, those who are overlooked and forgotten, those who are longing for healing and wholeness. We are to share with them that love and acceptance and justice and hope have come near and can be real. We're to let them know that God's kingdom is on our doorstep, that new life is not just possible for them, but that it is real for all of us and for our world. That sounds pretty good to me. But love, acceptance, justice, and hope don't always sound good to everyone. I don't know whether it's the message or the messenger or the timing. Who knows? God's message of love, acceptance, justice, and hope is not always welcomed. So what are we to do? Just push harder, right? Just say it louder and more forcefully, right? No! We're supposed to kick the dust off our feet and move on. We're supposed to kick the dust off of feet and move on. We're not supposed to carry what was into what could be. We're not supposed to dwell. We're not supposed to push. We're not supposed to threaten. We're invited to move on. Now, you might have caught the line at the very end of the scripture about Sodom and judgment, right? It'll be easier for Sodom on that. First off, let me tell you, Jesus did not say that to other people. The quote of what he said to say doesn't include that line. It wasn't in the say this part of the instructions. The last thing we are to say to those as we kick the dust and go about our way is, God's kingdom has come to you. We offer blessing and we go. We roll up and we roll out. I find kicking the dust off our feet to be a very instructional moment. If we are bringing a message of love, acceptance, justice, and hope, an invitation to know and experience God's kingdom, shouldn't how we share that message reflect the message itself? Shouldn't we share love in a loving way? Ought we not offer acceptance while preaching acceptance? Is it not appropriate to justly proclaim justice? To show hope as we say hope? How we share the message should reflect the message itself. I've watched love be spoken in some of the most unloving ways in this world, and I know that's not what Jesus asks. And what vexes me is the people who need to hear this the most are not the people we might be introducing God's love to for the very first time. The people that need to hear this about sharing love in a loving way and justice in a just way, they're the ones that are pushing dogma, trying to force the world into a narrow understanding of faith, all while thinking they're doing what Jesus asks of them. You know, I believe this congregation has a very important role to play in the world. It is my sincere prayer that not only will Highlands United Methodist Church build a home where all belong, but that it might serve as an example of how to do so in a truly Christ-like way, in a way that honors the invitation of Jesus to love and serve without animus, to nurture and care without judgment, to be comfortable with who we are and what we believe, so we do not need to put rules before relationship. You know, I believe Highlands United Methodist Church has more work to do in showing Christians what it is to live like Christ than we have to show non-Christians what it is to live like Christ. I do hope that those seeking a spiritual home will see our values and efforts and choose to join us, right, as we ask the big questions and seek meaningful answers. I want those who long for it to find it with us. But I believe they will only do so if they see our humility and our kindness and our respect for all. I believe Christ sends us out into the world to show and share God's love and invite all people to participate in God's kingdom building. But as we see in Christ's own words, how we share that love and kingdom is everything. Amen.